Exactly right. You know, if you're like me, you come to Wednesday and you're tired after a long day of work or teaching or managing the house or whatever it is that you do. And you come and you don't really feel like praising God, and you don't really feel like singing. You don't feel like worshiping. And then when you leave church, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord. I know that I'm trying to get over this cold I've had for about a week or so, and I wasn't shaking hands with many of you on Sunday. So if I didn't shake hands with you, I apologize. I wasn't trying to be rude. I told some people, others of you, I probably just thought I was being rude, but I wasn't. But Kim Pitts was nice enough to ask me, you know, how are you doing? Are you feeling better after the service? And I told him, I always feel better after church. And I think that's the truth, is you always feel better after being in the house of the Lord, because this reminds you of what's truly important and what's really lasting. And it's not the troubles of the day or what the troubles of tomorrow are going to be, which God told us not to worry about. Right? It's just the opportunity to come and praise Him with other believers. As Ty mentioned last week, this is going to be an opportunity for some times of sharing and testimonies. And notes here. And so that's why we have two microphones, which David has nicely set up. And I want to start off this evening by reading a couple passages of Scripture on praise. And I've selected four different passages of Scripture. They're not very long. I just want to read them to us as we kind of set our hearts and minds on things above and not on things on the earth. And these are just passages of Scripture where people in the Word of God have praised God even in the midst of their problems. Or they praised God when you wouldn't think they would otherwise have praised God. And so the first one I want to read is out of 2 Samuel chapter 22. And this is David after having just gone to war, and God gave him the victory. And I want to just read the first four verses of this. I want to remind us of things that we should praise God for as we have the opportunity to give Him a testimony and worship Him individually this evening. And if you haven't figured out, I'm going to ask, we're not calling anybody by name, but I'm going to give you opportunity eventually to come up and just stand at the microphone. And I ask you to stand at the microphone because it's being taped, because they wanted to make sure that the blessings we could send out to people who can't make it to church. That wasn't my idea. Hopefully it's not going to be trepidatious to any of you, that you'll still be bold enough to come up and praise God. But I want to remind us of these are the various things that people have praised God for in the Word of God. So let's start in 2 Samuel 22. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from mine enemies." And I'm sure many of you this evening have gone through, in a sense, what you would view as a war. Right? It could be a war with a disease, or a war with a financial problem, or a war with a relationship issue. And you have still found that God is your rock and your deliverer. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm just going to read beginning in verse 3 for several verses. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Well, there's so much in this passage that is worth praising God for. I mean, obviously for the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ that is coming one day in heaven, the salvation that will be revealed, right? But also it says here that even though we go through trials in this life, we still praise God and give Jesus Christ glory and honor. You know, most of the world does not understand how a Christian, I don't know if Diane's here this evening, but her strength and her hope and her joy, even in the midst of an incredible, what we would view an incredible difficulty and trial, is inexpressible. It is unexplainable by the world's terms. But a Christian has that praise, a Christian has that hope. And we look forward to that day when, by the grace of Jesus Christ, we will see Him face to face. So that's something else to be praising God for. Even in the midst of trials, we can praise God. And of course, we can praise God for that living hope we have in Jesus Christ. Just a couple more passages in Joel 2. This is the one I made sure I marked because it would be the hardest for me to find. The other ones I think I have a good shot at, but Joel is a little more difficult. Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 23, says, "Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain as before," which it's very appropriate that it would rain this afternoon, I guess. "The threshing floor shall be full of grain, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never again be put to shame." Wonderful passage of Scripture, how God can redeem time that we think is lost. How God can restore relationships that we think are lost. We have some relationships even in our family that from all outward appearances appear to be lost. And we would love for God to restore those relationships. And He can do it. He can do it. I know this is looking forward to the day when He does this for the children of Israel, but He can do it as well for us in our relationships. And you may want to praise God tonight for restoring that, or you may want to still hope in God and ask Him to continue to restore those relationships or those situations. And the last one is in Psalm 34. In fact, that's the one that's always on the top of our prayer sheet. Psalm 34, just verses 1 to 3. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. And that's really what we're here to do this evening, is to magnify the Lord together and to exalt His name and to give Him praise. Let's start with prayer, and then we're actually going to sing a song. And then I'll start by giving a testimony, and then I'll give you an opportunity to come up and share any words that you would like to share with the body here at Providence. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we're here to magnify the Lord together. We're here to exalt Your name. Lord, we're here to give You praise and honor and glory, even in the midst of the storms. Lord, we're here to thank You for Jesus Christ, to thank You for the hope that we have of eternal salvation, to thank You for the forgiveness of sins, for continuing to work in us to make us more like Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for this body of believers. Lord, I'm personally thankful for the privilege of worshiping together each week. We pray that You would continue to mold us into the likeness of Your Son. We pray that You would help us to always trust You, even in the midst of the trials that You have providentially brought our way. And Lord, we thank You again for the opportunity we have to be here this evening. We pray that You would be pleased to meet with us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will turn with me to hymn number 43, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You don't even have to stand to sing. We will remain seated. We'll just sing one verse of Great is Thy Faithfulness, hymn number 43.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Okay, I'll start with a testimony. About 9 years ago now, we came to this church at Providence. And it was a drive-by shooting, in a matter of speaking. Because we had visited about 14, 15 different churches in the area. And we have some wonderful comedic experiences visiting those churches. I remember one that we went to. I'll just tell you one, and I won't tell you the church because I can't remember the name of it, but I can tell you where it is. Well, we had one where we went and we sat down for the service, and I'm always a little hesitant when the name of the pastor is emblazoned on the side of the bus. That's always a little warning sign to me, but we didn't think about that at the time. So we went because we're visiting. We're trying to find where God would have us after we moved back from San Diego, California. And so we went and we sat down and we did the singing, and I won't go and exaggerate it too much or give you too much of the story. But the pastor got up and he started speaking, and I don't remember what passage he said. He said, you know, will you turn with me, please, to Psalm chapter 3. And if you don't have a King James version of the Bible, throw it out in the aisle and we'll sweep it up with the rest of the trash. And I turned to Jennifer and I said out loud, I said, is he serious? I'm sorry. I don't think God spoke in King James English, right? And we would have probably exited right then, but there was a gentleman in a wheelchair that was sitting next to us on the left So we were kind of trapped. So we made it through that. So anyway, Jennifer at some point had driven by going down to Harry's Farmer's Market, or one of the food places that I think it was Harry's Farmer's Market, and had seen the sign. So we came in, and we came on a Sunday very hesitant, having been burned by a lot of bad experiences of trying churches. You would think with a lot of churches, it would be easy to find a good church. That's what I thought. But it turns out that it was difficult for us. One that, and we've learned so much more since we've been here, right? But one that will preach expositionally the Word of God, and that one that will, in all of its other dealings, try to lift up and have the high view of God and the high view of Scriptures. So we came hesitantly, and we sat down for the service. And at that point, there was a lady here who was playing the piano, and then another gentleman was leading the worship, and then basically Jennifer said before we came in, we said, you know, let's sit in the back, so in case they handle snakes or anything, we can make a quick exit. And so we did, and I believe that Ty at that time was speaking about grace and about God's grace given to us, and having come out of a more of a legalistic background, just hearing about the grace of God exposited from the Word of God was just so uplifting. So we got back in the car, gathered our kids back together, and got back in the car, and we just looked at each other and go, hey, that wasn't bad. That was pretty good. So we started coming back, and we've been coming here ever since. And I'm just so thankful. I know Ty's not here, so it's easier to say this when he's not here. But somebody who is willing to preach for, you know, however many years through Romans, and now I know we took a little break and spoken on evangelism, which is good. But I'm sure we'll be a number of years in Daniel. That's willing to just go, and wherever the Word of God takes us, he's willing to preach it. So that's one of the things that I'm thankful for, and I want to praise God for that this evening. So I want to offer the opportunity for anybody who wants to be bold enough to come up and stand at one of these two microphones and just give a testimony to the church. There's a microphone over there, and I can bring the cordless one to you if you'd want. You want to do that, dude?
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Jacqueline Jarvis. Most of you know me as Jackie. And I've been attending a few months now, and my experience here has been profound. To say anything short of that would cheapen it. I got saved in a charismatic church. I was extremely devout, zealous, you know, went to church 4 or 5 days a week willingly. And God in his grace opened my eyes. Before what I call the Great Awakening, it started happening when I attended a pastor's house, a Bible study, and he showed me something that I had never heard of before. It's called context. And I thought to myself, why have I never heard of this before? I've been a Christian for like 3 years, and I've never heard of context. So long story short, I ended up leaving the church. I ended up moving here, and I was attending another church not really far from here for about a year. It was very seeker sensitive, and it was a very large church in which I attended this church for a whole year, and I did not make a single relationship, not one. There are thousands of people in a church, and I did not form a single new relationship the whole time I was there. So I finally decided that I was going to visit another church, and that church was Providence. Interestingly enough, I came in for Bible study, and I recognized Chris McIntyre's car. Well, we work in the same exact group. I had no idea that this was Chris's church. So I came in, and I've been attending ever since. And since I've been here, I feel like I have truly learned what it is to be a part of a body of believers who genuinely love and reflect the love of Christ. It's amazing to me the way people in this church care for each other. It's great. And even to the point that I got a package in the mail from Ty. It was a book. And it wasn't until about 2 weeks later that I realized there was also a note inside of it that he had written himself. And it made me cry because I'm not even officially a member. And for the first time, I'm feeling like I'm being shepherded by a faithful shepherd. So I just want to praise God and say how grateful I am to be a part of this body of believers.
Great. Thank you, Jackie. Who else? And it's okay if you're unofficial. Yes, Ritz.
Most of you know that I teach Sunday school for the children when the adults are having Sunday school. And two of the things that I emphasize week after week after week is that it is a privilege to pray, that God wants us to pray. He yearns for us to pray, to ask for things. The second thing that I teach them over and over again, you need to trust in God. You need to trust in God. I think I say that every week. And yet there are times, of course, that I don't do that, all right? But I will tell you, when we came here, I was out of work. And I was out of work probably for 15 or 16 months. And God led me to cleaning houses. I lost all of my business after about a year and a half. All of my business had to do with new buildings, and we know what happened. Most of the builders went bankrupt, so I turned to commercial and cleaning foreclosures and so on. And business has been relatively good, but there are slow times. But I always need to constantly be in prayer. We pray every night, please bring me more business, Lord. Please bring me more business. And he has never, ever let me down. There have been times, for example, a couple of weeks ago, and Ron Chantel has heard this story, so bear with me. I was driving down the road and knew I did not have any work on a Friday. And as I was driving, I simply closed one eye, kept my eye on the road. And I asked the Lord, Lord, please send me more business. Now, this may sound like an exaggeration, but it was 20 seconds later, my phone rang. Now, I clean for WDON, Kim helps me, up in Gainesville, 550 on your radio dial. And I clean there every couple of months, but it was the man that I knew there, the engineer at the radio station, said, you know, Rich, we need to have the windows cleaned. So talk about immediacy, all right? Praise the Lord. Every time I pray, there's an answer. Is it always the answer that I want? Not always. For example, there was a church in Grayson that I saw that was being built close to one of the properties that I clean. And I went in and left my information. It was an 18,000 square foot church. All right. Now you have to remember something. My cleaning business involves one person. I do all the cleaning. All right. 18,000 square feet is overwhelming. Of course, I knew I would be able to rely on my buddy Kim. All right. I talked to the lady. She talked to the pastor, and she told me, point blank, Rich, you have the job. Well, it's interesting. Most people would be jumping up and down, 18,000 square feet, two times a week. Well, that would probably be all the work I needed to do to support my family. Then I went home and started thinking about it, and 18,000 square feet, 18,000 square feet. The problem with the job is that I was going to have to leave my family two nights a week, probably for 5 or 6 hours. Well, if you know my family, we're extremely, extremely close. And being away from my family that long would be very difficult, considering that at that time of the evening we have our family worship. And I went to follow up with the lady the very next week after she told me I had to work, and she never answered the phone. I left a message. She didn't call me back. I talked to her on the phone. We haven't decided. We're unsure who we want to clean the church. To cut to the quick here, I did not get the job. All right? Is my cup half full or my cup half empty? It was half full. You know why? I didn't have to give up the time with my family. And when we pray, the proper way to pray is, Lord, thy will be done. He obviously did not want me to have that job. So, does he answer prayer in his own way? Yes, he does. Praise the Lord, and thanks for putting up with me.
Yes, Ruth.
I'm glad you have this short for me. I don't know if everybody knew that I was raised Catholic. And I was very faithful to Catholics. I obey everything what the nuns told us to do. I was educated in a convent called La Providencia, which is Providence. When I was driving around looking for a church and I saw this sign, Providence, I said, no, I won't go in there. And I went home to tell my husband, I said, I've been driving around looking for a church, but that one, don't go there. And he gets in the computer and he says, hey, so-and-so is telling us that Providence is the place where we need to go. Mm-mm. Anyway, we end up here. I'm telling my story from the end because the beginning is very complicated as Catholic. And so we came here and the first thing I said, Robert, there is only one piano. The church is small. People are friendly. Here are the Christians. They are the brothers and sisters. And we continue coming. And like you were saying, I found a pastor that knows his herd. He knows how to deal with the sheep. I was, as you all know, last year didn't have a way to come here for the trouble of my health that I'm going through. And I did not have Christmas till the 23rd. I said, we're not going to have Christmas. It was this past year because I cannot go to the store. I'm sick. I suffer what we, some of you know, the operation of my nose, that I cannot be close to people because the perfume, the cologne, or whatever scent, wonderful sense that to me is harmful. So I didn't go shopping. So nothing for us to have at Christmas. And the 23rd, all the choir of this church were at my yard singing Christmas carols to me. And I didn't say, this is not to me, this is for the Lord. And I was so thankful because that was my way to worship God that night. And we worship all together in my yard. And I could see, like you say, these are the people that they know how to deal Christian to Christian. And we don't only talk about the human needs. We all talk about the spiritual needs. Because all of a sudden, I couldn't come to church. And at my home, it was people to cut my hair because I cannot go to the beauty parlor. There were people to do my hair in the backyard that day. Ruth came, and I was fearing, what is she going to do? And she's, stay still. I'm going to do it right. I said, no, you don't know. Who do you cut hair to? My husband. Oh, okay, do it. So I let her play with my hair, and I was so thankful because, you know, my hair grows too fast. And you know, not vanity, but still, you know, you want to look decent. Then I have at my door my pastor bringing communion. Linda McIntyre coming to pray with me. It was the love that you all have inside of you. It's Christ in you all that come to my door, to my place, to let me know who you are, to let me know what Christianity is. And that's what I am right now, that I have found the right church with one piano only, not the orchestra and all that distractions. We have the right people, which are the brothers and sisters. We have it all here. We have Christ. But in my past, going back pages back to my book, I was Catholic. When I was 12 years old, I was kind of disturbed about the nuns having these images for us to follow, having the communion to have in a certain way, having to confess your sins, and the transubstantiation of the body of Christ, which means the bread transforming into the body. So I believe all those things. And I was so deep in that I went to all the processions, incense, flowers, to the saints, what they call saints, the statues. And I did all that because, hey, this is, I want to gain salvation, because the nuns used to tell us, we have to earn salvation. Oh, that sounds good. I have to earn. So what could I do? Well, do this, you will have this, that. Okay. What about when you die? Oh, purgatory is waiting for you. Oh, purgatory. What is purgatory? You're going to be paying in there for a while, and then you go to heaven, and the virgin of whatever name they made up at the time, which I believe it, oh, he's going to come and get you out of the grave. And the scapula, you have to wear it inside of you. It's a piece of rag with a like this chain, but it's wear it like this. Don't take it off anywhere. Even if you're going to take a bath, you just do with that. So that's going to save me. So I believe all those things. I went through First Communion. I went through all the rituals that I was supposed to do for salvation. I was 12 years old, and it was a lady at my home that used to come and do the baking for our house. And this is in Ecuador, by the way. This is in my country. And she was an evangelical person, what we call a Protestant. I said weak when I was Catholic. Well, she came and baked the things that she has to do, and I used to go by the kitchen with my catechism fanning in my face, because I knew she was from the evangelical church. You don't go there. You're going to go to hell if you go there. So I go with my catechism and say, I'm going to study religion, I was telling her, just to prompt her to come to tell me something. So she was so wonderful. She came and she said, come here, girl, let's talk about religion. Okay, that's what I wanted. So I did not realize that she had the whole armor of God with her, equipped with the Bible, when I have two pages that didn't mean anything, but to me that was salvation in my hand. And this woman doesn't know, because she's going to hell. That's what I thought. And she was repeating to me many verses. And she used to go and visit my mother sometimes, and my mother, like, you know, come here, read the Bible to me. So she started reading things, and I was listening, and what's this woman going to say? 12 years old. But I wanted to fight with her. I wanted verbal stuff with her. But I never get the verbal stuff. All I got is the Bible getting in my head. But I was careful. Then, one time, it was in the capital of the city of my country, capital Quito, you know. There was a college, and there still is the college, San Gabriel. The Mayfields know what I'm talking about. Well, San Gabriel, and the whole republic of Ecuador, the Virgin of Sorrows has cried to one of the students. The whole republic was a commotion going on about that. So we had that icon in my school, so I went and looked for that icon on one of the walls. There was the icon. Oh, this is the one who has cried in that school. Everybody is just enamored about that. So I want to go. On break time, I went and I kneeled to that icon. I said, you're going to have to cry for me. You're going to have to cry for me. And I waste my whole play period waiting for the icon to cry. The icon never cried to me. All I wanted is to go and tell all my friends the Virgin had cried to me too. Well, I couldn't make it because it didn't happen. And I begin at that time with disappointments. Transubstantiation of the body does not happen. The Virgin does not cry. What is going on? The statues, I heard the lady that used to come to bake the bread in my house, she said, the Lord does not like statues. Where does it say? The second commandment. We don't have second commandment. No, in Catholic, no, we don't have that. Do not make graven images. No, we don't have that. So what is she talking about? I start investigating all that at that age and being mad. And I did not know if I should get mad at me or I should get mad at my teachers that they were teaching me. I did not know who to get mad about. But I grew up, I sneak myself at that age to the evangelical temple because I was still a student at this Catholic world. I had to pass the grace. That was the only reputable school at the time, but I had to continue. But I went and sneak myself to the evangelical temple. And one night, there was what they call a revival. It was a pastor invited from Puerto Rico. And he was, you know, preaching. My country is very cold, and everybody's freezing in their cold. And me hearing this preacher saying something that I have never heard, and I start sweating. I start getting hot. And the pastor was saying, after he preached the gospel, what I came to understand later on, what is the gospel? So he preached salvation, come to Christ. I was touched, and I was thinking, wow, what am I going to do? He's calling everybody to the front, and what comes next? But I did that night, and I was sweating, burning. I even remember what I was wearing. I was wearing a red sweater making the same color of my blood that was boiling. So I went in there, and what comes next? Well, I kneel. I felt peace in my heart, but I feel disturbed because I was thinking, what am I going to do with my classmates? They're going to put me down, and I want to be up here. But that thought even went away, and I continued going. Then years went by. I traveled to this country, and I was exposed to the Seventh-day Adventists, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, and I didn't understand what is all this about. But I believe now that the Holy Spirit led me right. And I went one time, I was invited to go to the Seventh-day Adventist, an invitation that I have, so I was driving. This is in Alabama. I got lost. It was cold. I was hungry. It was supposed to be a dinner. Forget it. We're not going to have dinner. I got lost. It's raining. It's cold. Go home. I never went there. Then I start reading about, discovering about all the things that who believes what, who is who. And like I always say, the Holy Spirit led me to the beginning of my conversation when I said I came to this church and I found a pastor. I have found the brothers and sisters. And I'm here. This is my family. The rest, you will read it in a book. There's no movie about.
Amen. Thank you, Ruth. We're glad you came even in spite of the name. We could change the name back to Victory in Jesus Baptist Church if you'd like. That was the old name. Many of you don't know. Maybe some of you don't know that, but that was the old name of the church about 10 years ago. David.
My income is like riches. My income is tied to construction, which there is, not as much of these days. And so the last year and a half has been challenging. But me tell you, even today, so yesterday was slow Monday, but even so that gave me more cause to pray and to say, God, my income is in your hand, you know, all over again. Today, one of my customers called and gave me an opportunity to price probably the biggest job I've been able to price in a year. When I was meeting another guy in Decatur at a job, I saw the sign for one of my other contractors. I haven't heard from him in 2 years because he's been slow. So I just happened to be there, saw him. I called another guy this morning. When he called me back, he said, I was thinking about you 2 hours before you called and left me that message. So I called him about inquiring about a job I'd quoted a month ago. I thought maybe someone else was going to do it. And he said no. I mean, he said yes, you know, basically set it up for Monday. So quit worrying, in other words. You know, worry that someone else got my job. Now, if you didn't go to Bill's funeral, sounds weird to say you missed something, but, you know, you really did. Because Diane really just bowled me over because she said, this church, Providence, has come and wrapped its arms around me, and I've seen the love of God so strongly and so clearly. And I thought of Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And she said, and the reason is because the good teaching, and I wanted to add in the good shepherding as well. And I thought of Ephesians 4. But she said it just like that. And it's not just because the people love me. It's because of the good teaching. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And right there, man, she just said it. A similar passage. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what bowls me over. He seems to have some knowledge of them that we sometimes don't want to grant. He said, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Right? Paul was confident of something about them, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you, not only in word, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction.
Thanks, David. Have time for one or two others before we go in prayer?
Yes.
Well, I'm not really a member here either, but I come just because I like y'all. So.
You're a sister, you can talk.
Thank you. But I'm Maggie. I was raised Catholic as well, was not devout, and basically turned my back on God because I found the Bible very offensive and got into a lot of New Age stuff, Wicca, you name it, and realized that that was all empty promises. That was just utter nothing, emptiness. It was, and I said, this is stupid. You know, and I had some really lovely experiences in the church, believe it or not. I always compared everything that I had tried to the love of Christ, and which I did experience in the Catholic Church, contrary to what you all may believe. But, because I don't think he's not particular, you know. If you're a believer, he'll reveal himself to you. And it doesn't matter where you go, I don't think, but so I kind of came back to him. I actually, long story short, heard, believe it or not, a televangelist on TV preaching, and it was just kind of the way it happened through a sequence of events, coincidences, blah blah blah. You know how that goes, and I just felt a presence of something so incredibly holy, and I knew who it was. I just knew, and that was kind of followed by compulsive Bible reading and prayer and things like that. And it was really very, very lovely for a while. Pretty much after I turned my back on God, like a long time ago, I had a son, and he was about 3 years old, and he was taken from me, and he was given to his father. And, you know, he came to visit that June. It was 2008, and I cried to God, and I said, you know, I didn't blame him. I just said, I can't believe, you know, I always thought he would come live with me again, and now it's too late. And I didn't blame him, and I wasn't really self-pitying as much as it just hurt, you know, one of those things. And I literally heard a voice that said, leave it to me. And I said, what? And it said, leave it to me. And I said, okay. And within 2 months, my son was living in my home, which was unbelievable. We were talking about restoring relationships, and that's why I kind of wanted to. He does. And he was on drugs a lot. And you know, I made it a stipulation that he could not do that. And he's now not doing drugs. Of course, he doesn't want anything to do with church or any of that other crap, as he would put it. But you know, I know that through my praying for him, and I've had things like he used to just say there was no God at all, and it was all a bunch of nothing, and now he'll admit in, you know, just between us that, yeah, there's a God, you know. But because he's seen the prayers that we do together when I pray with him, when he allows me to, he sees the results and that God answers prayers, whether it's over his computer or whatever, you know. It just, it's always those little weird miracles that mean nothing to anybody else but to you, right? And he's seen those. So yeah, God is really, really good. And he, you know, his word is true. And he does say, you know, turn to me, you know, return to me, and I will accept you. I will forgive you. And it's so true, you know. So I just kind of wanted to share that. And how did I get here? You know, I went to so many churches after my conversion, my radical conversion. It was very, very different. And I tried a whole bunch of them, Lutheran, Seventh-day Adventist. I did a Bible study. I mean, whatever. I did not really like them. I don't know what the deal was, but it was like, well, I'm reading the Bible, and I'm not hearing anything that sounds even remotely like it. I don't know what they're talking about up there. So it was a little frustrating. You know, it was like good up to a point, good doctrine, and then it would be like, yeah, but how do you get that? No. So I heard Paul Washer preach and absolutely loved him because he was the only guy who could explain to this radical thing that happened to me and called it conversion or whatever, you know. So I was like, oh, okay, there's a name for it. Cool. And so I started looking, and I liked what he preached because to me it was actually what I was reading. Kind of matched, you know, for the first time, preaching matched what I was reading. And I was like, hey, that's pretty cool too. So I looked up on his website for churches that held to his doctrine or was similar to his doctrine. And this was one of the few in Georgia. There's one, I think, in Billerica and another one down in Lawrenceville somewhere. Whatever. I started listening to some of the stuff on the website, and it was on Daniel, and I was like, I really liked what I heard. I really liked what I heard. And when I came here, and the ladies of this church are just so incredibly warm and friendly and kind, and the gentlemen too. I mean, you know, no offense, but yeah, being raised Catholic, I don't know how to do church. You know, I'm used to, you know, you walk in there and nobody says hello because nobody knows each other. You know, so I kind of look at you all and go, hi. Am I supposed to talk to you? I don't know. You don't do that in Catholic Church. So so yeah, I'm kind of learning, you know, how to do that. And it's really lovely. But, you know, my goodness, it's a beautiful church here. And I'm very grateful for you all. So thank you.
I am the old guy here. Lisa and I have tried to figure out how long I've been here now, and it's a long time. Sometimes it has seemed like a very long time. Several times we have talked, and we literally have come to the point a couple of times, and this was years ago, before Ted and Jennifer came, before Bob and Linda, before some other guys came in, and thought, you know, why are we still here? So I'm going to take just a few minutes. It's still because God gets all the glory. God gets all the honor and all the praise. Since you've mentioned it a couple of times, and he's not here. Because if Ty were here, I could not do this. And I don't mean, I'm not kidding. He would sit right here, and you know him. He would already be going. And I'll hear it from this. If he hears this tape,
she will.
Then he's going to hear it. What he will say is he will come to me, and he will say something. But he's not here. But since you've all mentioned him, I want to take just a few minutes and tell you the things that you think about him are true. The thing about your pastor is that he is a man. And he sins. The difference is when he does, it crushes him. He hates it. He can't stand it. And if he were here, I would not be able to say these things, but I want you to continue to do what you're obviously doing, which is pray for him. He works. Somebody asked me one time, you know, how often do you think Ty works? I don't think he stops. He gets to go home. He gets to do things. But his job never stops because his phone never stops ringing. And the kind of man that you see him here is the kind of man he is at home. He treats his kids like that. He treats his wife like that. And we need to surround him with prayer because he stands and preaches the word of God. And it is a wonderful thing to be here. It is a privilege. He's great with the numbers. If I said, Ty, how long has it been? He would figure it out. I don't know. I think he's been here 15 years. But when he came, we immediately just formed a kind of a bond. And to get to go through this whole process of how long it's been now has been absolutely amazing. You've heard some of the stuff, you know, there were about 9 or 10 guys on a leadership council, sharp guys. And Ty presented a plan, and they said, man, we're on board, let's go. And we turned around one day, and there was nobody here. They were gone. I mean, this guy left for this reason, and this guy left for this reason, and this guy left for this reason, and this guy left for this reason. And I remember telling Lisa, I said, I'm not leaving my pastor. I'm not going to leave him. And what God has done for us just for that is absolutely amazing. So how long it's been, I don't know. But at one point, it wasn't very long ago, and I want to set this picture right because we were at a meeting, and it was Ted Guthrie, Bob McIntyre, John Blackburn, Ty Blackburn, and Kim. Now that, you know, John and Bob are, you know, they're captains of industry. Ted, he won't admit it, he's probably one of the smartest guys you will ever meet. You know how smart Ty is. And Kim. I went home and told Lisa. She said, what is wrong with you? I said, we were all sitting around a table together. And I said, listen to who it was. And I told her who it was. You know what she said? Nothing. She didn't say anything. There was nothing for her to say. It is the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. The other thing, real quickly, I would like to say, I didn't think she was in here, but she came in. But as personal testimony is how grateful and thankful I am for my wife. My dad told me years ago, a lot of you know my dad, the guy that crushes your hand when he shakes it. That is my dad. Nobody call it, we all just call him Papa. And he got me. And, you know, you can look over my life at the times that he's done this, it's been very few. He's always been wonderful. He's always been proud of me. But the times that he would actually pull me aside and say something to me have been very few. When Lisa and I were just about to get married, he pulled me aside. And many of you have heard this term. He said, you've heard the term, you're batting over your head. He didn't say that. You know that term. He said, boy. He's always called me boy. I'm 47 years old. He still calls me boy. Mother still calls me baby. At 47, my dad pulls me aside. He says, boy, you have outpunted your coverage. That's what he said. And, you know, what? And that is funny, and, you know, and I'm glad that it's funny, but it is the absolute truth. I have been given what I do not deserve. My home is like a sanctuary. My children I love to be with my kids. I love to be with your kids. It's really strange that I get to be in here tonight. I finally get to, the choir started, so I get to be with the adults. But I love your kids, and I love my kids. But it's wonderful to be able to have the problems that you're having. Everybody's having the trouble. Everybody's struggling financially. Everything is hard. I get to go home to a wife and children that I do not deserve. That is the mercy of God. That is the grace of God. And then on top of that, I get you. It has not always been this way. It is not. But it's wonderful when it is this way, isn't it? And God is good.
Okay, thanks, Kim. Indeed, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we ask or think, and where he's able to do exceedingly abundantly in this case, too. Come on.
Barbara reminded me of a scripture that reminded me of all of you. I'll read the scripture first. It's 1 Timothy 1:5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And it got me thinking about you, Ted, and Ty, and Bob, and John, and Linda, and Jennifer, and I know Maria teaches the women too, and Todd, and Rich, everybody who teaches, whether it's an adult or it's a child, you guys, that is a blessing to us because you are jealous for our allegiance to God's word. You're jealous for us, for God, and you truly do shepherd us. And you care about us and our kids too. And that doesn't happen everywhere. And I would like to just pray this Paul's prayer for all of you too. It's from Philemon, if I can find it again. He says, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brothers and sisters. And we're just blessed by all of you. And it's praise to God for that.
Thank you very much, Gina. I was thinking about earlier today and how thankful I was for all the people who have come in the last 4 or 5 years. We don't care about numbers at this church. We like everybody to come and worship, but it's not about numbers at all. But we, you know, there was a time when there was 50, 60, 70 people in the service, and, you know, now it's, you know, double, maybe triple that sometimes. So, or close to that. It's wonderful to worship and to on a Sunday morning to look out and to have people singing and have just families together worshiping God. I love watching, I guess, you know, especially the parents and they're holding the books for their kids. I've told you that before, but that's always wonderful to see the interaction of parents teaching their kids how to worship God. So thank you for all of your testimonies this evening. Let's spend some time
in prayer, a few minutes in prayer. I know it's a little bit after 8, so we won't stay too long, but we'll pass out the prayer request, and then we'll have a time of sharing here. Okay, if most of you have these, let's ask for some people to pray for these, the ones that are highlighted. First of all, special request for Providence is the Space Planning Committee. I saw an email from John Blackburn today, I think. They actually started work on the new modular building that's going to go out back, the one that increases that size by like 4 or 5 times. And we never know, and we've been, I guess, around enough to know that you should never advertise when a building's going to go in, because you will be disappointed. You absolutely will be disappointed. But at least it was exciting to hear that that building is going in, and I we're just hoping that is a space that will glorify God. And there's a lot of things around how to move the kitchen, and we've even thought about whether or not to try to make this worship center here a little bit larger by pushing the back walls out and things like that. There's a lot of things that the Space Planning Committee has to consider. So they wanted you to highlight that and ask you to pray for them. Will somebody volunteer to pray for just kind of the facilities and that Space Planning Committee at church? Anybody? Okay, Ron, thank you. Yes. Okay. Okay. Oh. Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Vanessa. Volunteers to pray for that special need. It's number 43. It's on the back page. That one's particularly. What a tough situation. Anybody volunteer to pray for that situation? Mitch, thank you. And there are a few others on the front, and I'll mention these together, and we'll have one person pray for these together. Obviously, Diane Van Avery and her family with the loss of Bill. And then just in general, some people who have lost jobs and still in need of work. I'm hoping that the economy is picking up and we'll find it. But our hope is not in the economy. Our hope is in God. So David Leap and Alicia Pitts are asking for prayer for the loss of their jobs at the same company. And then also for Grady Vine. So these are members of our church, particularly that his leg would continue to heal. Somebody volunteer to pray for those three requests? Okay, thanks, Peter. Okay, and then I'll close with the prayer request for the evangelistic ones on the back. And I hope you've gotten some of these emails. The Scott and Ron's trip to Israel, and then Ken Temple's trip to Turkey, and the Deeper Conference, which Todd is involved in, and then just the evangelism training and outreach, which our church does. So I'll close by praying for those. So let's lift our hearts in prayer this evening.